God is up to something very special. I believe that in all the churches here in this state, that God desires to do something special. It begs the question for you and I, what does he want to do special in my life? How does he want to use me to make a difference in this community? There's 3 people dying every second in this world. 3 people die every second in the world that are lost. 3 people every second die and go to hell. Last week when I was talking to Pastor Jim on the phone, I was coming back from the Luvana State Correctional Facility for Women. I had the privilege of about 6 or 7 years ago to meet a young lady by the name of Donna Blanton. I was in the jails working. And one of the ladies I was working with said, hey, there's a lady down here that would love to talk to a pastor. I met her. I didn't know her. I had heard about her story in the newspaper. But she had murdered her husband, a state police trooper husband. And so through meeting with her and talking to her almost on a weekly basis for quite a while there over at Hanover Jail, she came to know the Lord. She prayed to receive Christ there one day in my presence. Wanted Jesus in her life. When she'd finished praying that prayer of salvation, she lifted her eyes up and there was big tears coming down her face. And her face was all swollen from crying so much and the tears coming down there. And she made this comment that I'll never ever forget. She said, if I'd only known this back then. She was saying, if I only knew Jesus back then, I wouldn't be here today. I want you to hear this very carefully. The gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. The gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. There's 3 people dying every second going to hell. They're lost for eternity. There's people that live in your neighborhood that do not know Jesus Christ. Who knows how long they have here? I pray that God sustains it for a little while till we get an opportunity to go out and share the gospel with them. I challenge my church. We have empty chairs in my church as well. I challenge my folks every day. Because there's empty seats here means that we haven't done what we need to do this week. I believe every church, if we were truly walking in obedience, if we truly believe God's word, every church in Hanover County, Louisa County, this state would be overflowing. That we'd be putting some of the men to extra work on Sunday mornings, grabbing more chairs and filling the aisles and people sitting on the floor and overflowing. Why? Because we got a story to tell. There is no greater story. You don't believe that people in this world right now are desperate to have hope, are desperate to know the truth? There's too many people living out there, Christians as well as non-Christians, living with the idea that this is as good as it gets. This must be just as good as it gets. You know, I can endure this. It's okay. It's not killing me. I know there's people worse off, so I can get by. God did not send his son to die upon that cross that we could just endure, that we could just get by, that we could just exist. God sent his son to die upon that cross that we might live in victory, that we might have a life of overcomers, that we might have an incredible experience here on this earth and share his glory with other people. Will it be a life of cushion and comfort and bed of roses? Absolutely not. But it'll be a life filled with victory. It'll be a life filled with the things that only God can give. I believe with all my heart I'm one of the richest people in the world. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with what God has given me. I ran a number of restaurant companies for years, had my own restaurant company, had the privilege of being a Marine officer for a number of years, young age, out of college. But it wasn't until I lost everything back in 1992, I lost this major corporation I'd built, multi-million dollar corporation, lost everything. It was a hard time in my life. It was brutal. I threw one of the nicest pity parties I've ever seen for about 30 days. But in the midst of all that, I realized that I was missing the most important stuff. It's God. I was a Christian, but I wasn't living for him. I wasn't doing a single thing to serve the cause of Christ. I didn't even go to church at that time. Didn't tithe. Had all kinds of money for a while there. Didn't give one penny to God or his ministries. God had such an incredible plan for me. Jeremiah 29:11. He looked down at me in the midst of my little despair and said, I got a plan for you. You won't even begin to believe. I've told my church a number of times. 20 years ago, I would have never believed that I'd be a pastor of a church. Couldn't have been any further from my mind or what I felt like God's calling was in my life. I was supposed to be a restaurateur, businessman, executive. Do you know what? In the midst of my despair there, in the midst of losing that company, the hardest time in my life at that point, I look back today and thank God for that. God allowed me to crash into that little brick wall, to fall into that little pothole there, get my attention, that I might begin walking in obedience. Just like Peter when he cast that net over the side of the boat. I want you to go home tonight and really ponder the thought, what does God want me to do in the realm of obedience in my life? Where have I not been obedient in my life? What would God have me do and be obedient to follow through with Him? What's going to happen in my life if I become obedient? You know what God's saying? Just watch and see. You can't even begin to imagine. I love what God told Habakkuk in the first chapter of the book of Habakkuk. Same situation. Israel was in incredible chaos. Thought that nothing was ever going to get better. God looked down at Habakkuk. He says, watch and be amazed. I'm going to do a work among the nations here that even if I told you, you would not believe. I love that verse. Watch and be amazed. My daughter Abby over in the Far East right now adopted that verse. Watch and be amazed and see what God wants to do. God's saying, watch me and be amazed at what I want to do in your life when you get right with me. Over and over and over, God's saying, hey, call to me. I want to show you something. Walk with me. Seek me with all that you have. Search for me with all your heart. What a privilege to be here tonight, but I want to finish out with the most important part of this service. It's a commitment, desire to be right with God. Most evening services I'm blessed to be a part of, most of the folks there have already made that decision for Jesus Christ. It's more decision at this point in their life to say, hey, what does God want to do in my life next? Does God have more for my life? Does God have more for this church? You bet. God has an incredible plan. Your pastor asked me to come be a part of the revival services. I know a lot of times revivals equate to the essence of sharing the gospel for maybe the first time for people we invite to church. But in greater ways, I've seen the revivals used in a way to wake up God's precious people, to encourage God's precious people. And I've wanted to be an encouragement to you tonight. I wanted to lay out to you God's holy word that you might realize God has a plan. God wants to do something very special, not just this church, but my church as well, and every church in between Louisa and Beaver Dam. He has an incredible plan. And His plan is that we serve Him with all that we have. We surrender and say, God, my life is yours. Do with it as you will. I'll conclude with this story. There's a story told about an old couple that lived in Oklahoma. For a lot of years, their farm had been passed down to the generations, and they worked it for all their worth. And about every year or two, they'd have a great year, and then they'd survive all that because the next year there'd be a drought, or there'd be windstorms, or tornadoes come through and just rip up everything. And so they spent their 60 years of married life out there tending this farm and working their fingers to the bone, just making this farm significant enough that they could survive off it. It came to a time in their life when they were just too old to work that farm, and so they decided to put it up for sale. Almost immediately, someone came along that didn't live in that area and said, I'll buy your farm. I'll give you a good dollar for it. I can tell you guys have worked hard for this land. So they said, okay. They sold it and acquired the money and moved to the big town. Got a nice place that they could manage and live there and basically comfort, and realized their needs had pretty well been met by selling this farm. About a year later, they realized that the man that had bought that farm was a speculator, that he realized there was probably oil underneath that land. He drilled oil on that farm. The person had a number of acres, drilled oil on that farm, and struck it rich. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. All those years, those folks just, they sweat and they bled to toil that land and to till that land. Just inches away from where they stood on that ground every day was incredible wealth. Phenomenal wealth beyond their farthest imagination. Brothers and sisters, there's too many followers of Christ that resemble that old couple. They're just a few feet away from God's greatest riches. They live their whole life kind of squandering and pulling hard out here without the benefit of Jesus Christ's riches in their life. Because they just desire not to submit to Him. Desire not to surrender and say, hey, God, I so desire to have Your riches in my life, and I want to walk in obedience. God, forgive me, God, for kind of taking this for granted, and I want everything You want for me, God. I want to serve You with all that I am. I have a few good years left, God willing, and I want to use those years for Your glory. I have 50 years left. I want to use them for Your glory, whatever it might be. As we think tonight about the riches of God Almighty, have you truly appropriated to your life what God desires to give you? Have you appropriated your life the essence of serving God with all that we are? There's no ambiguity in His holy word here. He's very clear when He gives us commandments. When He gives us commissions to go into all the world and baptize them and make disciples of all men. He's very clear. What happens in that translation is our mind. It's a good question. I don't know. But my heart's desire for you tonight was, don't leave this place just a few feet away from God's greatest riches. How do we claim those riches? Begin walking in obedience. Ask God tonight, God, I've missed some things in my life, and you know that. God, show me tonight, as I leave this place, as I commit myself to the pastor here, he's going to be standing out front in just a moment, as I commit myself to the pastor, Pastor, I want to serve alongside you. I'm excited about what God's going to do in this church. I'm here to tell you, though, as awesome as your pastor is, and I believe he couldn't be any more awesome, just an incredible heart for God. I don't know a man that loves God's two greatest treasures more than your pastor, God's holy word and God's people. God has equipped him all these years for such a time as this. But you know what the pastor's role is? Is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That he spends his time encouraging you and tending to some of your needs and helping you to understand God's word and what the calling is, and so you can go out and do the work of the ministry. So as I give this invitation just a moment, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I know this pastor would love to tell you the greatest news you'll ever hear and how you can have that relationship. But for the rest of us here tonight, and I'm going to commit myself to your pastor, that I told him earlier that I want to develop this friendship. We got a good friendship going already just in a short amount of time, so I desire to work together in these fields out here and see what God would do using two churches for His glory here as we combine together and do some neat things for God. But I pray tonight that you'd make that commitment as well. Pastor, I want to be a part of what's going to happen to this church. I see great things here too, and I'm so glad you're here and your precious bride. And I want to see this church be all that God would have to be, because first of all, I want to be all that God wants me to be. So I want you to think about that tonight in this time of invitation. That this would be a perfect time to affirm your pastor and tell you how much you love him, but also say, listen, I'm with you. I'm ready to march. I'm moving out of the audience into the army here, so sign me up. Put my name on the line. I'm with you. Wherever we go, whatever God wants to do, I want to be a part of that. To God be the glory. I know if you're not a member of this church and feel like you want to join, I can't imagine a better time to do that than right now. But let me pray for you now, and the pastor will be here in a moment. I'm sure we'll have a little music too. But you make that decision tonight that I'm going to follow Jesus with all that I have. I'm going to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow after Jesus. And I can't imagine a better person, a finer person to do that alongside than the pastor of this precious church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Father, that in the midst of our busy lives, Father, that we have the opportunity to worship you in freedom. And Father, we desire to exalt you above all else. Father, and we all understand, Lord, that worship is ascribing worth to you. Father, we know as well, Lord, that there is no greater form of worship than to hear your holy word and obey. And Father, we desire to do that tonight. And Lord, we can't even begin to imagine where as we obey, just like Peter did there, and just like Elijah did, and all those prophets of old, Father, and all those great heroes of the Bible, Father, how they obeyed. And you used them to do extraordinary things way beyond their abilities. Father, our heart's desire as a body of believers, Father, would be to be an empty vessel that you would use beyond our abilities, Father, that we might change the culture of this land we live in, the culture of our county and our city here, Father, in this state. That you'd use us in a powerful way, Lord, to make a difference in the lives of people. That we would carry forth and be witnesses, Father, and carry the truth to our neighbors and to our co-workers, Father, and to our schoolmates. I thank you, Father, once again for this precious pastor, his bride. Father, I pray your rich anointing on him, Father. I also pray for your protection upon him, Father. And Lord, I know personally the moments of discouragement and doubt that we stress and that we feel as pastors, Father. So I pray you protect them from those things. Father, I pray as well, Lord, that you'd send encourager after encourager, day after day, Father, into his life, Lord, that would come alongside him, Father, and desire to lift up his arms just like they did for Moses. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you'd Speak to our hearts during this most precious time of invitation, Lord, and that we'd make that decision tonight that would yet again change our life for eternity. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for loving us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor's going to come now and receive the invitation.